I have way too many thoughts to try to give voice to all of them. I have 3 children. 31, 28, 20. I did not bear those children. My wife did. How many ladies understand that the most critical time when you're birthing is something called transition? Do I understand this correctly? I just know that what the doctor said, particularly on that last one, the boy, he was, what do you call it, when he was the wrong, yeah, he was upside down and the wrong way. Both sides were backwards. Like whichever way you were supposed to be on both ways, he was the opposite on both. And I was in the labor room, and the doctor looked at my wife and said, "All right, this is your last chance, because the baby's heart is dropping and your life is on the line here." And I would love to tell you that I stayed in the room full of faith and victory and proclaimed the word. I ran out of the room. Ill-equipped. But I do know this about children and when that birthing process takes place. Transition, in it's the most critical time. When you're birthing something from the unseen to the seen, from seed form to manifestation, and that plan being born, the time of transition is the most critical time. And so when I just stood up here a minute ago, I was like, "Lord, which way do I go with this?" I heard one word. Transition. Transition. Lay hands on the musicians. Now that's just the way he talks to me. Sometimes it kind of, on that prophetic-y, psalmist-y side, it tends to rhyme a little bit. Transition, start with the musicians. Put your hands on the musicians. Impart to the musicians, because it's not just the music. The whole ministry, sir, not in a bad way, in the most grand and glorious way. This is a totally different day. This is a totally different season. This is something's up. I don't understand the fullness of it. I'll give you one little example. One ministry that I got sent to in 2014 that I was supposed to do a 1 week, 2 or 3 days, just like music rehearsals. Not even a church service. Do you understand that? Just behind the scenes. But the first night, the glory of God came during the rehearsal. The pastor was there. So the second night, he had the whole staff come to the music rehearsals. I was like, "What is this? Is this the choir?" No, he says, "It's the whole staff. They can't sing, but I want them here because the power of God's here." So the third night, he said, "I'm moving it to the main auditorium." So then it became a midweek service. So what was supposed to be 3 days, listen to me, turned into a 5-year assignment. I did not see it coming. I had no clue it was coming. I just showed up and knew I was supposed to be somewhere for one time. The one time turned into 5 years. And it took something that was dead and dry, and they had gone from 2 services to a full auditorium, with a full auditorium on 2 services, down to 1 service half full right before I got there. But I got there, and it wasn't just me. It was the plan of the Holy Ghost, and the pastor worked with the plan, and we worked. And within a matter of months, the church filled back up, and the money quadrupled immediately. Why? Because prosperity always follows His presence. It's His plan. He'll pay for it. All I'm trying to get across to you is, for all of us, this is not about me. This is about the plan. Tonight is not about me. I could lay on the floor and God would get it done almost, because His presence is moving right now. All I can tell you is something's up and I don't understand the fullness of it, but I was supposed to be on this property in this room tonight and for the next couple of days. There's an alteration. There's a movement that is taking place. There's transition, not because of bad things, but because of what awaits you. And that is coming from heaven to equip you to do what you're called to do. It will happen suddenly, and it will also happen seamlessly. Seamless. And I don't know what that means. I can only say a word. When I hear a word, I say it. So whatever little part, you know, maybe I was just a kindling, what's that word? I don't camp. I live in a Marriott. I don't build fires. I turn on the heat and ask where the microwave is. I love your pastor. He ordered some soup and said it better be hotter than the gates of hell when it hits the table. I like that man. I'd rather you be hot or cold, lukewarm. I'm spewing you out of my mouth. Right in the restaurant. So, kindling, starter, a fire starter. A fire starter. And so, just a moment ago, I heard transition for everyone. When you say the word transition to me, I think about that birthing process. And it is critical that things are right. It takes a lot of people. It takes a village. It takes an army. Especially on the last one. A lot of people, when it was not going the right way, a lot of people hit the room where that plan, my son, was being born. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So he said, transition, start with the musicians. Isn't that something? Yeah. Send Judah first. Put the praisers at the head. Yes. 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 And when they began to sing and the praise, then divine order came into being. The enemy was defeated. They were annihilated. But that wasn't the whole deal. Prosperity is always part of God's plan. Read the whole story. It's just not a singing service. And so remember me telling you that I was awake during the night? Well, the last sermon that I went to sleep on, because I try to go to sleep on the word. Now, there's certain preachers, and I'm not going to name them. Some preachers put me to sleep, and that's a good thing at the right time. It's not good in public setting, but it can... Jerry Savelle does not put me to sleep, but right on the other hand, he's got this apostolic thing. It's hard to explain. If you listen to him, people just say, oh, he's a good teacher. No. You don't understand. He's apostolic. When he goes, things happen after he leaves even more than happened when he was there.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You must understand this. I've run with these people for 30 years. And so some people have more manifestations right then and there in the building. For instance, like Jesse Duplantis, brother, get out of the way. Everything's getting ready to be mowed down or raised up. It's going to happen right then in the service, that evangelistic attached to the prophetic, and it happens suddenly and immediately. Other gifts, they bring something, they sow a seed, and then the harvest of it takes place after they leave. The last sermon I went to sleep on last night was Brother Jerry Savelle telling this story. He just happened here in a place called Toronto, Canada, in case you didn't know that. Ontario, whatever you call this. So he got, and I don't even know what church it was because I was not there. And I don't know what year it was, but I've heard him tell this story along time, but I never knew it was this city. I've heard him tell this story that he got in a meeting and he was supposed to be there one night. And in the hotel room, the Holy Ghost said, would you be willing to stay as long as I tell you to stay? And he answered the Holy Ghost and said, but Lord, I'm supposed to be in, I think it was Riverside, California tomorrow night. I know it was California, if I remember the story. And the Lord said, would you be willing to stay as long as I tell you to stay? And Brother Jerry said, Lord, in case you didn't hear me, I have a meeting tomorrow night and the next night. And so the Lord said again, would you be willing? That's all I'm asking for. Would you be willing? Would you be willing? Would you be willing to set your agenda to the side and go with my plan? So I said, yes, but I'm asking you, would you work that out for me with those other pastors? I believe the day he asked that was in the morning. I've heard this story many times, and I think I'm right on it. In the afternoon, ding, 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 he gets a phone call. It's the pastor from the next night. He said, Brother Jerry, I was praying today, and the Lord said to call you and tell you you're released from my service if you need to be. Ding, 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 a call after that. It was the pastor where he was supposed to be the second meeting after the Lord said him this. Said, Brother Jerry, I don't know what's up, but this is awkward. I'm supposed to say that you don't have to come. I'm releasing you from the meeting. He said, thank you, I'll explain later. And he ended up staying. And I don't remember. Pastor, help me. Do you know about this meeting?
I was in those meetings.
I'm about to jump. I don't know why I'm jumping. I don't know why I feel the fire.
That was the church I grew up in. That's the church I started preaching in. And he started for one night, sir. And he went 43 nights in a row.
Wow.
Come down just a little bit, honey.
His brother was here. Brother John was there with me. The Rutledges were there with me. And that we would walk in the building. I mean, it was packed to capacity. It seated 2,000 people, but there was more than that every night. Every night, every night. And you'd walk in and you'd see, you'd hear a hum of prayer. The sanctuary was packed with people praying. Every room had people praying. And you'd walk in and demon-possessed people would come in off the street and get healed. And listen, when he first came to Out Church, 2014, the year after Dr. Dufresne died, as he was circling the airport in his plane, God spoke to him. And he said, do you remember the meetings you had at Evangel Temple all those years ago? And he said, I was not finished with those meetings. And he said, I am reconnecting you to a church, Pastor Craig Field, because they carry the same mantle that other church carried. And just be patient. It's not yet. But you're going to pick up where you left off, and there's going to be a revival in Toronto, and you're going to spearhead it. And God said that in 2014, and it's now 10 years. And I keep telling him, brother, anytime you want, anytime. And he keeps saying, I have to wait for God to say it. I have to wait for God to say it. But the day will come where God will say, pick up that revival. And I'm just telling you because you didn't know any of that. But my God, we're connected to it.
I'm going to break furniture right now. I'll pick up something. I'm going to throw it. I don't know why. When this comes on me. So it was the last. I never knew it was Toronto. The last flight that I was with Brother Jerry, and I was talking to him. I said, tell me that story again. I've heard him preach it so many times, but I never get tired of hearing it. I said, tell me again about when you got to the meeting and the Lord said, so he told me, he said, well, here's what happened. I said, no. I want to know about the services. He said, it's really easy. I would just pray in the Holy Ghost and the Lord would say, don't just get there and follow me. Don't go with your plan. You may preach, you may not preach. You just interpret the service. I'm using more than your gift. You get there, you'll know who to call on. You'll know who and when. Now, I was not in those meetings. The last flight I took with Brother Jerry, I went to him, which, you know, in that jet was a good distance away to the chair. I said, tell me that story again. How did you interpret the services? How did you know what to do and when to do it? He said, David, so I just got with God during the day and I prayed with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I saw it. Sometimes I just knew it in the service. A lot of times I just knew the starting point at the beginning of the service and the Holy Ghost worked the rest of it out. I didn't know! Till last night! That's what I'm trying to tell you. Before I went to sleep, I went, my God, it was Toronto!
Services everywhere.
So you're telling me you were in those services and say that first part about it, how it was connected to you.
He said, I went to Pastor Bud, that was our pastor, and he said, Bud said, you need to stay, you need to cancel your meetings. God is doing something. And he said, on one condition, he said, there can be no competition between me and you. He said, you cannot dictate or direct how things are going, although I will submit to your authority as a pastor, but you have to let me lead these services. He talked to him about money and how they were going to handle offerings. He said, we had to make sure everything was perfectly pure and clean in the eyes of God. And then he said, I'm going to go one day at a time. I'm not going to commit more than that. And God will speak every day. And he showed up and people started coming. Like, you remember it, brother. People just came I mean, there was like a revival of prayer first. The whole congregation began to intercede and pray. I've never seen anything since
today.
Or before. I've never seen that happen. And then people would just come off the streets. I've never seen it. I would go out. I was only a teenager. I would go in the hallway because demon-possessed people would come off the streets and he would cast the spirit out of them. And then, you know, sometimes people would try to disrupt the service and the cops were on call for Evangel Temple. And I would go and watch them tackle people who didn't want to get set free from demons and drag them out. And I'd be like, wow, this is amazing. And every night, healings, every night, miracles, every night. And it went 43 nights straight, 42 or 43 nights straight. And it was the most glorious experience I've ever experienced in church.
And you were a teenager?
I was a teenager.
But yeah. What years was this?
This, do you remember, John?
Yes.
87, 88? Yeah. 87, 88. I was like 14 years old.
Okay, which is, that makes sense because I didn't join up with Brother Copeland until 93 because it's my 30th year. So this would have happened.
Yeah.
I was always very familiar with Brother Jerry's ministry, 93 till now, but this happened right before then.
Yeah.
God is my witness.
And you were listening to that last night?
Last night!
Really, today, this morning, early this morning.
No, it was, okay, it was the last sermon I listened to before I went to sleep.
Oh,
then I woke up at 2 and I heard 11.
Yes.
11.
Yes.
And I knew it was the 11th hour and what I prophesied this morning. And 24, the 20 and 4 elders.
Worship.
And the place of worship, which I came prepared to, I ain't even going to get to preach that tonight. I just can't. I just can't. See, this is why these services matter. So I'm in the room and I talked to Brother Richard Roberts for a little bit. He said to tell you all hi. He's in Birmingham, Alabama with a move of God. They were running around the church this morning and just doing wonderful things. And so, you know, the deal, Pastor, you have a myriad of sermons you could preach and you just go like, I could go this way. Yeah. I could go this way. I really want to do this. I want to say this. And then you're standing there at the last 2 minutes feeling like there's no way I can do all of this. So I'm standing there and I just went, Lord, just what? You know? And I heard two words, much prayer, much prayer. So you say it started out of prayer.
Yeah, it was all birthed out of prayer.
I just wonder, I did have a Kleenex somewhere.
And I've never seen people pray like that in my life.
I got one, brother.
I've never seen a congregation come together like that ever. It was like a divine, holy drawing, like a magnet to pray. And you couldn't force people to do that. I mean, thousands of people were coming to pray and people would come right from work. They wouldn't even get food. They wouldn't even go to they wouldn't go home to change. They'd come in their work clothes and they'd fall on their face and they'd begin to pray. And then at 7 o'clock, Jerry would walk up after the worship and he'd say, God said this to me in the hotel room, and the power of God would fall. It was the most glorious thing I've ever seen. And it's going to happen in this church before Jesus returns. It's going
to
happen.
And he said to you, I just want to get this straight, because just before
when he was
circling
the airport, he said, God told me I was not finished with those meetings. And he said, and he admitted to me, he said, Craig, he said, I kind of sensed that God wasn't finished, but I wasn't sure. And we had been going for so long and I just kind of ended it. And he said, when I got on with my life, a little while later, he didn't say how long, he said, the Lord rebuked me and said, you should have really waited on me more because I wasn't finished with those meetings. He said, but don't go back. The time is over. I'm going to resurrect it in the future in a different church. And then when he was circling the airport in 2014 on his first time here, God said, do you remember I told you I wasn't finished with the Evangel Temple Toronto revival? And he said, yes. And he said, I will pick it up at Promise of Life Church, but don't force it. The year will come and I'll tell you when. And I've been waiting now 10 years. This is the 10th year, but I can't force it. Maybe it's in our new building. I don't know. But Jerry is very aware that God is going to raise up that Toronto revival out of Promise of Life. Because remember, brother, which you don't know, but Dr. Dufresne, he had an open vision. He saw a manto come down on the southern part of Toronto by the lake. Then he saw a hand pick it up and put it over on an uptown church. And then he saw it come over on a western church. And then he saw it come on us. That was his first service in our building. And he said, what is that, Lord? And the Lord said, there was a revival downtown. at the turn of the century, and that was that mantle. And he said, then it went up on Evangel Temple, where this is where Jerry had that revival. That was under that mantle. Then it went over on Dr. Coulter's church, where I was working for Dr. Coulter. I worked under both those. And then Dr. Dufresne saw it in our service. This roof disappeared. And he saw a hand come out of heaven. And God said, because that church, this Western church, has gone a different direction, he said, that mantle is coming on Promise of Life. And I did research on it. I went and met with the pastor at Evangel. And I did research. And I discovered... Doctor didn't know this. He died before I figured this out. That Amy Simple McPherson was from Southern Ontario. And she said to a man named Willard Pierce, she said in 1914, she said, I have, God has not forgotten Southern Ontario in Canada. Take my mantle to the shores of Toronto and have a move of God. And he came and started downtown Toronto, right by the lake, a church called Angelus Temple North, which then the board changed to Evangel Temple. They had the largest revival in Canadian history. They had over 15,000 people born again and saved. And that was the Amy Simple McPherson mantle that Dr. Dufresne saw. He didn't know it was hers, but that's what he saw. It came up on Evangel. It went over on Harvest. And now it's on Promise of Life. Our congregation know about this. And who could have made that up? Pastor Nancy being connected to Amy Simple McPherson with the castle and us being connected with her. How do you figure this stuff out? No, I don't understand.
You can't.
But that mantle from Amy Simple McPherson is on, it's for Toronto. Part of it is for the city. It's for this nation. And it is on this church, and it was on that church. That's why that revival that Jerry was connected to that church, now he's connected with our church. It will come to pass. Amen. We've been praying this stuff out for years.
You can't make this stuff up. You can't make it that I just so happened to hear that sermon last night before I went to sleep. Never knew it was Toronto till last night. Heard him tell it for years. It's closer than you know. Jesus, we're so honored. Lord, your plan is our priority. I don't know how else to say it. Your plan is our priority. For this promise, for the promise that you've made, whatever, with whomever, however, in whatever way, shape, or form, we submit ourselves to you humbly and say, for this purpose we were born.
Yes.
Yes. For manifestations of your glory. And dear Father, we're just overwhelmed. And at the same time, our spirits are jumping up and down on the inside. Like John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb at the sound of another voice. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He leapt in his mother. What is this that is about to be born? What is this? We don't know, but we see seeds and we see signs. And we smell, just like Elijah of old. He saw it when others didn't, because he was up on Mount Carmel in a place of prayer. And he says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Tell everybody, get it in order. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. The former and the latter rain. I know, and he shall come to us as the rain. You shall come to us as the rain. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open. Then the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap and jump as a hart. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And water shall break out in the wilderness. And the dry places shall become a pool, even a pool of Bethesda. And a healing place, and a miracle grace, and gifts will come to and through. But this time it will not be aborted. This time this move will go all the way to the catching away. Yes, eyes that will see ahead. Seers will see. They'll know
they'll be on alert. They'll be aware. They'll be in alert. Toronto! Time. Time has come. You'll alert the apostles. You'll alert the prophets. You'll get the house in order. You'll get every fine detail. This time, flesh will not prevail. Man can't stop it because man won't start it. Is that right, Lord? That move then was a seed, but this is harvest. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100 times greater than then. You call that to me a seed, but you call this time harvest. Did I hear correctly? One of many places. This time it's all the way to the catching away. Yabasanake. All right, Lord, we'll do this right now in the name of Jesus, and then you'll help us just with what to do tonight and tomorrow night. And that eyes to see, Lord, eyes to see. We don't want flesh. Flesh produces nothing. It was flesh that was thrown in, and it was dirt that was thrown in by the Philistines into Jacob's well. But Jacob redug the well, and flesh did not prevail. And the putrefying effect of dirt did not prevail. And there's many a places it is as if a redigging of a former well. Lord, I see that. I see that. I know that. And that was 2007 when you spoke to that to me in a minister's conference. Now I see that this is connected. This is part of that. I didn't know then. How could I know? 2007? I didn't know them. They didn't know me. This is connected. That you spoke unto me in that minister's conference and that I saw. Isn't it something? Their former wells. Dirt got thrown in. Flesh began to manifest. But you'll see many a man with a mantle that'll purify the well. And restir the water. In the Mahastaya, and purify the sound which purifies the water, and the well will flow again. Paka, paka. Now, by instruction of the Holy Ghost. No, it's not all in one service, but through the laying on of hands and other things as well, we'll be prepared. You'll prepare us for that which is to come. These will be well prepared. Well prepared. Stretch your hands toward him. This is not just about a music team. This, and I see that, Lord. Fire. Michael, Luce. Miracle. Makatai. Master Loloce. Gadunonce. Inanerce. Gronaste. Pakashe. My key. Stay. Bloce. Makalini, Makadono ste, Rustai, Mokolozo. Eyes. Nuka, miracle. Nope. Miracle, so. Flacheke, Matukona Naikai, Makaida, Makostagala Maasdavon Jordesta. Yes! Stai, Moshtenekesta, Misakolonanache, Mission possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible. Now, much imparted unto you for that that you set your hand to, it shall prosper. It shall prosper. It shall prosper and increase and increase and come up and come up and up, 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 up. And the whole church shall come up because of it. Miracle, say. It'll come up. It'll come up. It'll come up. The hand of authority. Night, night, night. In the night, in the day, in the day. You'll know what to do. You'll know each step. You'll know each step of the way. Not hard. His yoke is easy. His plan is right. Absolutely no darkness. Walk in the light. Revelation. Revelation of what to do and when to do it. That'll bring a manifestation throughout this congregation. It's all a setup. It's been planned before the foundation of man. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you, dear Jesus. Well, we'll just reverence here for a minute and put up our hands and you just worship at whatever level your spirit wants you to. I don't want to push you. Some are louder than others. Just go ahead and worship here for a minute. Barakustalai. Lord, I know that. Why did I talk about that this morning and suddenly that appeared to me? It's what my father would do from time to time. He would poke a hole in something and a greater one was to come. Is this part of that plan? Is this part of that was shown to that man with whom I've been connected to 30 years who stands in a higher place and grace than, and that one too, the other person too, and that connection? All of that. Voices. Yep. That have already been connected. But this plan is protected. This plan is protected. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Garamostai. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, by name, just because of whatever this is, I'm just going to call some names because you've said much prayer over the next few days. You said much prayer would bring about your plan. And so we lift up that apostolic teacher that, and truthfully, I've always called him a revivalist. I always knew that about him when I first heard him. I said, he's kind of wearing a teacher's coat right now, but under the coat is a revival that's going to explode. And Lord, I remember that church in Miami, they asked me, in the 90s, we need a revival of those that you run with. Who should I call? And it rose up in my heart. Well, if I was you, I would call Jerry Savelle. And they didn't see him. Like they said, you're not a teacher. I said, no, you don't understand. Under that is revival. Under that is fire. And he went there and it was true. Miracles and fire was released in that place. Let's just pray for Brother Jerry right now in the Holy Ghost for a few minutes. Kastakaya kadabaostaya, for his body to be strengthened, for his light, the eyes of his understanding to be enlightened. Lord, your plan is right. Not manipulation. This is the congregation at prayer. Your plan is all we want. Your plan. Your plan and mahastoye. Your plan will prevail. Your plan will prevail. Your plan will prevail. Two. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Lord, I don't know. I'll just pray about that later. But I'm so closely aligned to all three of them. Thank you, waters. Waters to swim in. Not ankle deep, not just knee deep, not just waist deep or loin deep, but waters to swim in. And everywhere the water shall flow, they shall live, and miracles and healings they shall come to know that'll shake nations. Water has to have a source. Water always has an origin point. It always have a place of origination, and people come to that water. People come from one city. They come from many cities to that city. They come from cities that don't have water to a city that does have water. And then many take that water back to their city and other places as well. I understand these things. I've heard it prayed and prophesied for over 30 years. The plan of God will prevail. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, is there anything else you want us to say tonight? Doesn't feel like I can go in that other vein. The message that I brought, no, maybe another time. Me costolo. There it is again. Much prayer. Much prayer. Much prayer. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And then if I remember correctly, in James chapter 5, it says he prayed again. He prayed again. He prayed again. And heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. This is heaven and earth working together. This is earth and heaven. Earth's authority, heaven's ability. Man's authority, God's ability. One requires the other. You found a place on earth that knows how to access heaven. In the spirit and power of Elijah. That turns. It turns things. It turns things. It'll come to pass in the last days. I'll send you Elijah the prophet before that notable day of the Lord. And he'll turn the hearts of the father to the children and the children to the fathers. And even John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he turned things. And then that shows up again, dear Father, in James chapter 5, talking about the husbandman waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience until he received the early and the latter rain. Elijah, by name, comes again. Lord, I understand that. I understand that I could teach it, I could preach it, but at times you just proclaim it. And it affirms and reconfirms what they already know. Much prayer and these things will flow. Put up your hands and let me, I'm just praying the Holy Ghost. I'm going to ask Pastor something here. Karaba ostaye. Kara adiatako da darayas. Araba aya dagaye. Araba ostaye. Araba oki araba otiatakaye. Adaba ustalaba daba otiatakaye. Arrekistalaba ustakaye daba ustalaba palatse. Murrustalaba ustaki araba ostai. Marrekistastakalaba ashto. Yeah, there'll be restoration. There'll be many restorations. Eyes to see, Lord. There'll be restoration. Yeah, I know that. I know what, that's Acts chapter 3, verse 20. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins will be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Times of recovery from the effects of heat. Times of reviving with fresh air. Yeah, Lord, I'm not afraid of that word. Repentance is our friend. Repentance is our friend. Every renewing, reviving, refreshing starts with repenting. It stops some things and it starts some things. It stops and closes some doors and it opens others. I love repentance. Every needed adjustment, I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it, Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You're not the condemner, you're the revealer. You're not against us, you're for us. Lord, it's all connected. I can see it. I can see it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not, hidden for such a time as this. Hidden, not forgotten. Yeah. Thank you, my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come here, precious. Come here. Gadabastaye. Gadabastalobornesta. Everything in the kingdom of God is by progression. It starts with a seed. Starts with a seed, and then a stalk, and then things begin to form because the seed is evidence it will be born. But it comes by level, and it comes by first the ear, then the blade, then the full corn in the ear, 30, 60, 100. One degree of glory to another. Don't ever get weary. Don't ever get in frustration. Remember the illustration. You just bring to the service what you have. The little boy brought two fish. He just brought what he had. He didn't bring what he didn't have. He brought what he had, and he submitted that. You bring what you have to every service, and it'll multiply and feed the multitude. Don't go. Day. Stretch your hands toward her. That was one of the strongest impartations. Oh, yeah. Increase day after day after day. Increase wave after wave after wave. Increase wave after wave after wave. And day by day, and even in the night while you sleep. For the kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise. And during the night, he begins to hear different sounds. Lord, I know exactly where that is in your word. You're saying that to me as well. That was part of what we're doing on this assignment. There's a reason why I had to hear that sermon last night. Be very cognizant how you go to sleep. Be very aware of the last thing that goes in your ears and eyes. Mark chapter 4. Kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into his heart to the ground and should sleep and rise. The seed should spring up. He knoweth not how. Mark chapter 4, the granddaddy of all parables. Sow the seed before you sleep. It'll work throughout the night. Lord, am I allowed to say that? You're not going to recognize this place in not too many days. A seamless alteration to the higher plan and the higher ways. The highways. Sure, it's by progression. Sure, it happens by degree. This will be a quick work. The 11th hour harvesters. An 11th hour plan. Whatever all that means. We just say, yes, Lord, you found an obedient man. I don't know about anybody else in this room. Y'all do what you want. But in this anointing right now, so help me God, I lift my hand to you. I'll do what you say to do. I declare I'll be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, bringing the right results with the right camp and company. Not my will, but yours be done. In Jesus' name, it'll be a quick work. For we're about to see the head of the church, the King, the Son. Not much time, and that time will come. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
What words of grace. Now, he doesn't know this, but last year, what was it called? It was our year of? Come on. It was our year of? Could you speak? It was our year of? No. It was our Bethel year. Okay? Now, don't just say it in unison, okay? He doesn't know this. What have we been preaching since January 1st that this is our year of? Say it. Can you say it out loud? Mount
Carmel. Oh my God.
And God's been dealing with us last year. And what was the first message I preached on Wednesday, January the 3rd? Was about Mount Carmel and Elijah and about how he restructured and he built that altar and he made new altars and he restructured his life and about how we put the wood and we are the sacrifice. And then prayer is that precious water that was so precious to them because they were in a drought, and it saturated the altar, it saturated the sacrifice, and it went around and filled the trench. And I said, this is a year of saturated and surrounding prayer. Is that not our motto for 2024? The year of saturating and surrounding prayer. And God said, you need to pray more than you've ever prayed for my plans to come to pass. My wife and I are doing it more than we ever have in our entire lives. And we will continue. And Brother David didn't know that. But brother, here you are talking about Mount Carmel and about prayer and about all these things. And it is a confirmation of the Holy Ghost to these congregation, knowing that I did not say a word to you. But look at how the Holy Ghost orchestrates, confirms the master genius of God. Because he doesn't know those things, but this is what God's been speaking to us, that it is a year of prayer. So, thank you, sir, for confirming. He said, much prayer, much prayer, much prayer. Can I just read you this? One of my dear, precious brothers who ministered in my country, South Africa, for about 5 years. And this is in Portland, Oregon, later in his life, and he had an open vision. And the angel, let me read this last paragraph. During all this time, I had carried my Bible in my hand. Reaching for the Bible, the angel opened to the book of Acts and ran his finger down over the second page. That portion where the Spirit of God came down from heaven. Proceeding through the book of Acts, the angel pointed out its great outstanding revelations and phenomena. The angel said to me, quote, this is Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. Strive for this, contend for this, teach the people to pray for this. For this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart, and this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. When the angel was departing, his final words to me were, quote, pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door of entrance into the heart of God. Remember that, Brother Greg? We've talked about this passage many times, him and I. And that was back in 1920-something, whenever this was, that he had this vision. And we're about 100 years later. And God don't care about times. And who cares that we're in the modern era with smartphones? That doesn't matter to God. The same principles that applied for revival then apply for revival now. The same thing that Brother Jerry, what fueled that move was the prayers of the people and his prayers. He told me, he said, I had to sacrifice in ways that I've never sacrificed. He told me that personally. He said many days I would fast the whole day. And then I'd get up and minister. And then I'd have a little bit of food. And then the Lord would say, eat and rest. And then other times he'd say, pray and fast. And every day he followed that leading, that winding river of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you. He said he would drive down the car. Pastor Bud would drive him. Sometimes if they were going to have a dinner on a Saturday, like Saturday was in the afternoon, they would rest and he would drive. And he said demons would just come out of the woodwork. He said people would pull up beside them and women would lift their shirts up to him. People would cuss and swear and threaten his life. It's like the demons came out of the woodwork because they're aware the glory of God was happening at Evangel. I'm telling you, the stories, he has some that he doesn't share, even though some of those publicly. But it was just such a, in the spirit realm, there was such movement. God was doing something glorious and the devil was rising up to try to stop it. But he is such a house of cards against a hurricane. He is such a fly against a hurricane. He can't stop the power of God. Now, I have no idea what God is trying to do here, and this is kind of freaking me out. But I have no idea, but I would not be surprised if whenever that time comes and Jerry picks up that mantle again, I would not be surprised if Brother David is involved in those services, if he's not connected with those. I wouldn't be surprised if Brother Jesse DePlantis may have some kind of role to play. I don't know. I don't want to suggest or say anything. All I know is that he's coming. I don't know if other people that he is connected to, I won't say names if God is going to, I don't know. I just don't know. All I know is that we have to pray. And God has not forgotten our city. He has not forgotten our city. I know we have an ungodly prime minister. I know we have ungodly politicians. But God has not forgotten our city. They don't know who they're up against. They don't know who they don't know who we are. Because the church has been a bunch of cream puffs. The church doesn't know who they are. The church doesn't know their authority. The church, politicians don't know that we can pray them in and pray them out. They don't know that because the church has never done that. But we're starting to do that. Hallelujah. Remember I saw that woman in her pantsuit? And I didn't know who she was. And I said to Chantel, give me every female politician that's running for office. And there was a long list. I didn't know there were so many women. And I went down until I recognized her. I saw her in a vision. And I said, who is that? I don't want to say her name. We're live streaming. And she said, she's the leader of this party, and it's the most antichrist party out there. And she was gaining momentum, and I got in the spirit. And I said, now, and we put a stop to that, and it just all started to turn the other way on her. Politicians don't know who they're up against. We don't need picket signs. We need prayer meetings. We don't need petitions. We need prayer meetings. That's what changes things. And we're going to do it. So he came up and asked me a minute ago, and I think it's a fantastic idea. Originally, the plan was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then on Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday, he's meeting with our team. But Brother David just said, this is normally praise is connected with prayer. In the realm of the Spirit, God connects those two things. He said, would it be okay? I think it's a wonderful idea. So we've already set the time. I don't want to mess the music team up because we already set the time for them. And some of them have work and children and schedules, and I don't want to change it last minute for the music team. So what are we going to say is we're going to keep the practice at 7 o'clock, which was the original time for the music team. They're going to be here practicing. Jenny and Brother David and the team, the whole team are here, and they're just transitioning together and practicing, doing natural things. And you know, Jenny's going to be leading. He's going to be critiquing. We're just doing natural things to prepare Jennifer. But instead of going from 7 to 9, we're going to go from 7 to 8. And I invite anybody here, anybody watching, if you're in our prayer school, especially you, if you came up to the altar this morning for hands to be laid on you because you're a regular attender of our prayer school, especially you, but anybody is welcome because our prayer school is open. If you want to pray more, you can pray more. But we're going to meet at 8 o'clock. We're going to stop the practice at 8 o'clock and we're going to have a prayer meeting. And we're just going to let the Holy Ghost move and flow, and we're going to let Brother David lead, and we're just going to have a prayer meeting, and we're just going to transition from that music time into a prayer time. Please don't show up at 7. That is only for the worship team. But if you'd like to come and pray with us, come at 8 o'clock, okay? And we'll go for about an hour. You can leave. It's open. You can leave whenever you want. Okay, if you have other, you know, responsibilities with children, you bring your children. We're not having childcare. Just put them. My God, I lay under the seat of the chairs for years. My mother didn't care. She'd say, shut up. Remember that, Mom? I was pretty good, because if I didn't, she'd kick me with her heel. And then I got a welt under the chair, and then when I got back to our home, I got another welt somewhere else. You just put your children under the chairs. I had crayons and a stick. You give them an iPad. I mean, this is a much better day. I had to amuse myself with a stick. But you have iPads. You've got no excuse. Put your children, don't make the children a reason you can't come pray. Bring the children with you. They'll be fine. Just come. Listen, if 5 people come, I'll be happy. If 50 people come, I'll be happy. If 200 people come, I'll be happy. Whatever comes, I just know he's right. We need to mix worship and prayer. But we're going to have an 8 o'clock prayer meeting for the next 2 nights, Tuesday night as well. 8 o'clock. If you want to come pray, come. Stay for as long as you want. Leave whenever you want. But we're going to pray for about an hour, give or take. Holy Ghost may fall. We may pray longer, but we're going to just set like an hour, and then we'll see how he leads. So worship team, you're all listening to me. 7 o'clock, you're coming anyway. 8 o'clock, you know, I'd like you to stay and pray. I don't want a worship team leaving. You were going to stay here till 9 anyway, so don't get cheating. Don't be cheating now. You just have to stay and pray with us. The worship team needs to pray. And anybody else that joins us will join us. And we'll do this for the next 2 nights with Brother David. Hallelujah. And then Wednesday night at 7:30, we'll have our midweek service as normal. There's no worship practice that night. And then he'll finish up whatever is in his heart. And he'll leave us on Thursday, but he'll be back. Hallelujah. Praise God. How do you explain that? This is the, like Pastor Nancy says, the divine genius of God. Out of the thousands of sermons that you could listen to, and I mean thousands, of Brother Jerry, what are the chances that he listened to that one? And then tonight, revelation comes to him that he didn't know. You think that's coincidental? That's not coincidental. That's God's trying to, he's weaving a fabric. He's weaving a garment, and he's letting him know, and he's starting to let us know. It's closer than you think. It's closer than you think. Brother, that was a word from God about those wells. I saw it in the spirit. When you were saying it, I saw it, a mini vision in the spirit. There was a well of a move of God, and flesh and the devil, all this stuff, try to put it out, put sand and junk in it. And we've been cleaning out that well for all these years, and we're going to get back to that pure flow. And God's going to have another move of God in Toronto. And I don't even need to be in the center. Let Brother Jerry take all the credit. Let all these great men come and be in the limelight. I don't care if we're in the back. I don't care if we're just hosting it or have any part to play in it for that matter. And maybe whatever church we have, this or the next one, maybe it will be too small. Maybe we'll have to move to the Rogers Center. Or that big old lovely place. What's it called? This one in Mississauga where they have the hockey games? The Hershey Center. I like that Hershey Center. I think we're going to buy that. Maybe we should just buy that Hershey. It's got lots of parking. It's probably only $100 million, but all we need is one Arab sheikh to get born again and he'll pay for the whole thing. Who knows? This guy played golf with Greg Norman. Was it Greg Norman? Or who's the guy that does the Arnold Palmer? And he said, I'd like to buy you a gift. And he said, this is a true story. He said, no, I'm fine. He said, I want to buy you something. You played privately with me. You taught me. I want to do something. He said, just buy me a club. He means a golf club. And he says, okay, I'll buy you a club. And he got a letter in the mail a few weeks later. And it says, here is your gift. And he's looking, where's the club? And in it is the title deed to an entire golf club, a golf course. When he said club, he's meaning club. When the rich billionaire sheik heard the word club, he thought an entire golf course, a golf club. Look at the difference of the way people think. One guy, tens of millions of dollars in a gift for a game of golf. I know it sounds impossible to us, but you just don't know what angels can do, what God can do. There's filthy rich people that God wants it to get into our hands for the gospel, because we're going to be righteous rich. We're not filthy rich. We're going to be pure rich. And not for our perverted, not for man's purposes, but for the kingdom. Not for us to have gold doorknobs, but to get souls saved. Amen. To have a meeting house, a glory center where God can come. to be on television where we can withstand, like the prophet Elijah, go head to head with government politicians and just dare them. And let the power of God strike them dead on national television. I'd like to see some of that, because that stuff's going to come again. And I'm not against people. I don't want people to get hurt. But when that king stood against in Acts chapter 13, the angel of the Lord smote him and he died. And that was New Testament. So judgment is not just of the Old Testament. When you stand against the will of God, the power of God will. And Dr. Sumrall knew a little bit about that. He knew a little bit about that. Because when those bankers withstood him, he said, if you don't move out of my way, the power of God will strike you down. And they put their chin out at him. They said, go ahead. And within a year, all three of them dropped dead. Now listen, when Pastor Nancy talked to me, she said, that seems, she said, I don't would like saying this, but she said, there's an impartation you've got from my husband. And I said, thank you, ma'am. And then she said, there's an impartation he got from Dr. Sumrall. And she said, I see that impartation of Dr. Sumrall on you. That's probably the greatest compliment that she could ever give me. So I'm just saying, I'm not like that naturally, but when the boldness of God comes, Dr. Sumrall stood against things, and God said, no man will kill you. No man will touch you as long as you live. Remember, God gave me that verse years ago. No man will stand before you. So God needs somebody that is not afraid and that is bold, not to try to pick a fight, but to finish the fight if they pick one. I don't want to pick no fights, but if you pick one with me, I'll finish it. Because I'm not just standing alone. We stand with angels and the power of God. And we've got backing of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, we are getting ready. This has changed. Everything has changed in 24. We are going to pray and we're going to seek God. And we're going to go into the promised land. And we're going to go with people like Brother David and Brother Jerry and whoever else God wants. Of course, Pastor Nancy will be right there. And I'm so grateful to you. I don't even know what to say for how you're orchestrating this, how you're weaving this fabric, how you're showing things to Brother David, how this is coming out publicly. We humble ourselves. We keep ourselves small in our own eyes. We walk softly before you, and we thank you for the privilege of any part in this last day move. We are grateful. We are not looking to be shy. We're not looking to shine. We're not looking. There's no ambition in us. We long to just be your servants and just do what you ask. And we're so grateful to have any part in it. Thank you for the mantle. Thank you for what you've put on Promise of Life. Thank you for the great, bright days ahead.